It's the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout Podcast, episode 217. I am your host, Adam Mangum. Jerem Jordan of BYU TV is back on the show to chat about the ongoing drama with Utah, a great start for men's volleyball, what's ahead for men's basketball, and what this week means for BYU and the Big 12. Matt and I then talk about the NFL playoffs, the college football playoff, conference expansion, and we preview the Gonzaga game. We also give our emotional response to a certain worry about player safety and a rivalry. This is the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. Find us on Twitter at BYU_riseandshout. And of course, listen to us right now. Welcoming back to the CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast, BYU TV personality, Jerem Jordan.
Holler! Again.
Yeah, glad to have you back on. You know, I thought you had been on more recently, but it's been almost, it's like 8 weeks.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
The dearth.
Yes, last time we were on, we were talking about going to The Force Awakens, and this time we've been to The Force Awakens.
Oh, yes.
So
we've been awoken.
We have been awoken. Out of 10 stars, how many stars would you give it?
Oh, I'd go 9.
9?
8.5, 9. I thought it was really good.
Yeah, me too. I'm in the same.
It has its flaws, but I thought it was a really good movie. I thought it was an A. It was good.
But don't we all have our flaws, Jerem? Don't we all?
Some people have less. Like, that's Spencer true. Has very few.
Spencer
but,
does
yeah,
have
yeah, it was really good.
No flaws in his hair, for sure. I've never seen any flaws in the hair. Speaking of flaws, this is a great segue, as we call in the radio business. University of Utah, everybody knows the story. We certainly don't need to recap it. Your five-second take on this story that has kind of gone national. I've seen some national personalities weigh in the media and such. Is this really as big of a deal as it's become, or is the fact that it's become a big deal mean it just is a big deal?
The affirmation of such from national media validates the fact that it is a big deal. And it's disappointing. The hubris of Utah is frustrating. And I hope that they play in the future. It's not going to be next season, but I hope the season after that they figure something out.
Yeah, I totally agree. And if BYU was doing the same thing, I'd be super annoyed at Coach Rose and Tom Homo. But of course, they would never do that, so I don't have to worry about getting annoyed about it. So we'll move on from the most talked about thing in BYU sports the last week to what people should be talking about, and let's start with men's volleyball, Jerem. So
they should be talking about volleyball.
They should be talking about men's volleyball. We've had you on the show before to talk volleyball. Obviously, season expectations pretty high, preseason number one. You had Loyola Chicago come in, the reigning two-time defending champion, and BYU knocks them out, I mean, pretty convincingly, I would say, and then goes on to beat another ranked team later in the weekend. Are the expectations, could they possibly be any higher at this point?
They probably could be a little higher. BYU had an elite outside hitter. Right now, they don't. They have two kind of younger guns or inexperienced guys that are going to be good players, but yeah, unanimous number one pick or number one this week in the coaches and media poll. They looked really good too. I think that Sean Olmstead's a really good coach. I think BYU has a really good team with depth at several positions. They have a new setter, a new libero. So they looked pretty good over the weekend. So I think BYU is in position to really challenge. And just a note for those that don't pay attention to volleyball that much, anyone outside like the top six isn't a legit national title contender for the most part. So there aren't a ton of teams that are really good. So BYU's got a chance to go to Penn State at the NCAA tournament this year and do some damage.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anybody whose play has surprised you in the first two matches that was maybe better than anticipated this early in the season?
I knew Leo Durkin, the new setter, who's a sophomore, would be good. By the way, BYU, the number one team in the country, started five sophomores on Friday, so that's awesome.
That is awesome.
He was better than I thought, because I had seen him in practice all of last year and thought he was pretty good. And Rob Nielsen, who used to be an assistant coach at GOA, he said, you know, he's probably our most talented center. So when I went to practice last week and they said, hey, Leo's the guy, and he has been for a month, I thought, okay, the time is now. New head coach, new center, new libero. And BYU has a bunch of weapons on the pins. They return all three middles. Obviously, Ben Patch is a first-team All-American returnee. So BYU's loaded, man. They have lots of options. It's going to be a really fun season.
So obviously, they are coming up on this weekend hosting number 11, I believe, in the country now, Stanford. So obviously, you can watch that on BYU TV and listen to the play-by-play by, I would say, a fairly talented play-by-play guy on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
He looks weird, but I think he does a good job.
Yeah.
By the way, Friday was one of those special nights in the Smith Fieldhouse. The debut of Sean Olmstead, the season opener, BYU's number one. They're hosting the back-to-back champs. There were 5,600 people in there. And then on a personal note, Steve Vail has had really poor health, had some serious health problems about 6-7 weeks ago. So it was a miracle that he was there. And it was so fun, you know. People love the volleyball matches because BYU's good, and they love Steve, and they love the excitement. And so it was one of the top kind of nights of my broadcast career Friday night. It was really, really enjoyable.
Yeah, and as we've discussed before when we've had you on, the Smith Fieldhouse, when the team is good and playing well, that place rocks. It's a great place to see a match. So, well, let's move on to hoops, non-talking about scheduling for next year version of hoops. Got Gonzaga coming up. Tell me, true or false, Gonzaga is not as good as we thought they were going to be in the preseason. True or false?
True. They've lost a couple games at home. The only home game they lost last year was to Brigham Young. They're still good. I mean, Karnowski's not there. His numbers were not off the charts, but he just affected so many things on both sides of the ball, or both sides of the court, I guess. They're still good, though. Like, Kyle Wiltshire is really good.
Yes, he is.
And I looked this up today. So Kyle Collinsworth is sixth in the nation in among active players in career points. There are three other dudes ahead of him in the West Coast Conference. That's how good, tenured some of the guys are. You know, I believe it's Stacey Davis, Wiltshire from Pepperdine, Wiltshire, and then I can't remember the other guy, but Wiltshire's really good. He's one of the better players in the country. He's an All-American. And then they have some of these new guys that have emerged that have replaced the likes of Pangos and Nelson and Gary Bell Jr. And so they're still good. They still have weapons, and they're extremely tough at home. So if BYU, if they pull off the win Thursday, that's going to be a really good win, by far the best win of the season. I hope they're really competitive and in a position to possibly win that game at the end. That's what they did last time. They just played great defense. Pango and Wiltshire combined for 5-for-23. That certainly helped. BYU never let Gonzaga even take the lead, put the pressure on from the beginning. And so BYU's got to have one of those great nights. Zach Sayes's got to play really well. Emory's got to play well. So everyone's got to bring their A game for BYU to have a shot at winning them.
Now you've got me all excited for this game, Jerem, because I think we can do it. I hope. I'm
sure.
I'm filled with hope.
Last year's team was less capable in my eyes than this year's team of going up there and winning. And last year's team did it against a really good Gonzaga team.
Yes, I would say a better Gonzaga team maybe last year, deeper at least for sure. Let's talk about kind of the rest of the season. Obviously, there's Portland, and you'll have a rematch with St. Mary's. St. Mary's, of course. Maybe not as good as we thought a couple of weeks ago, or maybe that was a blip on the radar this weekend. But overall, BYU's chances to get in the tournament, you've talked about it on your show. Do they have to get one win against St. Mary's and one win against Gonzaga between now and the tournament to have a shot at getting into the NCAA tournament without winning the conference tournament?
Yes. I think they need to get to 26 wins to have a shot. And if they don't, it's going to be tough. So what are they right now? They played 17, they're 13 and 12 and 5. They're 12 and 5. So I think they need to go, 14. They have 14 regular season games left, potentially 3 in Vegas. I think out of those 17, they've got to go 14 and 3 to get to 26 wins. So included in that needs to be a win against St. Mary's and Gonzaga. You'd think in Provo, but if you can steal one at Spokane, that's even better. A road win has more value. Gonzaga is a top 50 RPI win. St. Mary's, in the end, could be a top 50 RPI win. I think it'll be a top 75 if BYU beats them. And they went out of the Bay Area for the first time and lost.
Yeah.
They won't even leave the state of Utah in the first 20 games, and that first game will be against St. Mary's, which somehow ESPN didn't pick up, and BYU TV has that game, which is awesome.
That is awesome.
So, yeah, for us. So I think that BYU has got, they still have a shot at the tournament. I think that Dave Rose yet again has made one of his midseason adjustments. BYU goes small after Kyle Davis. They bring in Zach Sayce off the bench, who's playing lights out, especially from three, as everyone's noticed, and he's top five in the country in percentage. If BYU can continue to shoot the ball well, when they make threes, they're good. When they don't, they're not so good. And BYU's been 1-4 in true road games this year, and so these next four are really a test. I think if BYU can go 3-1, you'd think if they do lose, that would probably be at Gonzaga. If they lose that game, but they win the other three, I think that's a successful four-game road swing, because then they play 7 of 10 down the stretch at home, including St. Mary's and Gonzaga. So BYU certainly has a shot at making yet again, for the third year in a row, it would be, this late season run to get into the tournament.
So obviously Chase Fisher's, Yumis Encelias, Nick Emery, Collinsworth, and Davis, those are the getting the bulk of the minutes and the ones doing the most on both ends of the ball. Corbin Kafusi's kind of disappeared a little bit. Obviously, Nate Austin's played more as of late. As you look at the rest of that, after that top five, Jamal Aides, Corbin Kafusi, Chapman, Toulson, who's kind of disappeared as well, and Nate Austin, I mean, who's going to have to step up out of that group, do you think, in this run to provide the depth and play that's necessary to make the tournament?
Yeah, I think defensively, off the bench, you're going to need something from Aides and Kafusi. Matchups have not been such that Corbin Kafusi could play as much. BYU hasn't played a bunch of teams with bigs where they've needed to bring in Corbin off the bench. And BYU's tried to go a little smaller, where they'll keep Kyle Davis in there and he'll be the five, and Celius will play the four. So BYU's tried to push the envelope that way. Although Celius is 6'7", so he's no slouch. Like, he is the size of four. He's kind of a tall three. So some of these teams, like when BYU plays Gonzaga, expect more Corbin Kafusi, expect more Jamal Aides because of that matchup. San Francisco, those guys were up and down, flying 92 points, didn't have a lot of post games, so you didn't see as much of guys like Corbin and even Jamal. But some of these matchups that BYU will have, you'll see a little more of Corbin Kafusi, especially in Spokane. Portland got a couple bigs. I think you'll see more of those guys.
Yeah, so it should be the next four games will tell us a lot about where they're headed and what they need to do the rest of the season for sure. Switching gears to football, a couple of questions we'll get you out on that topic is, you had Greg Swaim on your show, if I'm saying his last name right, on your show today talking about Big 12 expansion. The vote may happen, that we're recording Tuesday night, may happen on Wednesday instead of Friday, and maybe the Big Ten is not going to put up as much of a fight as long as they divide into divisions. I read all this, Jerem, and there seem to be some contradictory thoughts from some of the media members who are covering it. As a BYU fan, is it just kind of hold and wait? And what do you think the percent chance is that this really affects BYU's future as far as the Power Five are concerned?
Yeah. The more I hear about the vote and the, you know, second, there's another amendment that's been added, you know, from the Big Ten and whatnot, then don't hold your breath if you're BYU. I just don't think that BYU can control it, so I don't think, worry about it. Don't worry about it if you're a BYU fan. At some point, there will be conference expansion. It's not necessarily going to come from the Big 12, though. It could come when the Big Ten Network re-ups their TV deal, and they could add two, and they could pick from someone else, and now the pieces start moving. So I expect that to happen in the next 2 or 3 years, but I don't expect the Big 12 to expand unless they are forced, and I don't think they will be forced. I think that they'll figure out some side deals that will sway the vote to be for the Big 12. So you, if you're a BYU fan, you want expansion, you want this legislation to be denied so that the Big 12 will feel like it needs to expand. Now, I don't see them expanding, and Greg Swain said this today as well, I don't see them expanding unless they have to.
Right. Right. Well,
and they could choose to not have a conference championship game and just do their thing. But if they want a conference championship game, there's a chance they could be forced to expand. So that's where this all comes in. And it's interesting. I mean, dominoes could fall, but I just don't really see it happening right now. I see it happening in a couple of years with potentially the Big Ten being the first mover and shaker.
Yeah, it starts maybe poaching some of those. Greg mentioned that on your podcast today, potentially poaching some of the Big 12 big dogs that are left. Staying on a national topic, so you have the national championship game last night. Ratings were down from the year before. Ratings on New Year's Eve were down. How dumb is it to have their semifinals on New Year's Eve? I mean, I'll tell you, I talked to a lot of people who are like big college football fans who said, wow, it's really hard to get my significant other or my friends who aren't as into this to give up their New Year's Eve to watch college football.
Yeah, it's idiotic. If any company lost, you know, 40% or went, their earnings went down 40% from the year before, they would make changes to make sure they got back up to where it was. The false tradition of certain bowls being on certain days, like the Rose Bowl,
those can be on New Year's Day.
Yeah, good for them. yeah, it's disappointing because, hey, you have a chance to really make a splash on New Year's Day. Why didn't they do it on January 2nd, on Saturday? That they would have made a killing. And there's probably a lot of sponsors and advertisers that are really angry about that. You know, that's for them to worry about. I watched it regardless, so I'm not like too concerned from an individual basis. But it is kind of silly. I'm going to watch no matter what. Like, I don't care what day it's on and what time it's at. You know, so I just really do.
I am the same way, but I'll tell you what it did, what happened this year, right? So I sit down and watch 2.5 football games on New Year's Eve. I just didn't watch as much football on New Year's Day, right? So I didn't, I kind of, you know, if you will, horse traded with my wife and said, okay, well, I'll do this on New Year's, but then we'll do something else on New Year's Day. But I'm with you. I think as a business person, I look at it and go, that's just terrible decisions that they're making. Sticking closer to home.
The playoffs need to be the culminating events, the two semifinals.
Yes.
They can't be games 2 and 3. They need to be games 5 and 6. And I liked watching all of those. I watched 5.5 of those New Year's 6. The second half of the Sugar Bowl was in the game, so I decided not to watch Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, you know. But I'm all in. Like, that's the new tradition for me, you know, watching all those games. So the playoffs needs to be the culminating event.
Yes, 100% agreed. So sticking closer to home with BYU football, media is saying we'll have a staff mostly in place by Thursday this week. Do you think there'll be any surprises to the staff that of maybe some folks that aren't being mentioned? Or do you think at this point we have a decent idea of the new coaching staff that Satake is going to bring in?
Yeah, I think we have a decent idea. There have been several reports out there, and those don't, you know, leak on accident. You know, to ESPN 960's credit, they called their shot with Ed Lamb and Ty Detmer and were criticized for it, but then they were ultimately right. You know? So that was well done on their part. But, yeah, I think there'll be a few names that are of interest to BYU fans. Obviously, BYU fans connect really well with the people that played at BYU, so I'll be interested to see who Kalani brings on that isn't from BYU and that has real good coaching experience. How much does he rely on Tuiaki and Lamb as guys that have been there, done that, and who does he bring in that has solid experience? And it's not necessary that you have a ton of experience before. I thought Jason Beck had a few years. He didn't have high-level stuff. BYU was his big gig. Mark Atuaya hadn't coached. I thought that those guys did a pretty good job. So, yeah, it'll be fun that we can finally get these guys in place. Thursday is the first day out of the dead period over the break for recruiting, so it's full court press with all these guys. And then 3 weeks from Wednesday, tomorrow, is signing day. So it's going to come up quick, and that'll be everything that Joey needs to get into to get the next crop of guys ready for this next season.
So on the show, you last 2 years, you've counted down. There is a poll, I believe, still open to vote. I haven't seen. I'm scrolling trying to find the poll. I did vote. I'm with you. I don't
it
want you guys 60, to do
it. 60-40 in favor as of about 2 hours ago.
Of doing the countdown, huh?
Of well, doing it.
So anybody.
Now the question is, are we going to do it every day? Are we gonna do it weekly?
Weekly would be okay. Every day is a lot.
I proposed that. That was shot down by my producer. Don't want to name names. Ben Bagley. But I said, why don't we just do it on Fridays once a week? You know, and they're like, no. So I don't know. We may leave that up to the people, too. It has been fun to see who likes it and who doesn't. And some people are like, I'm not going to watch or listen to the show if you guys do that. I'm like, really? Over that? Come on.
Well, that seems a little much.
That's pretty petty.
But besides,
that's Chris Kobiak-ing it a little bit. You know what I'm saying?
is that going to be our new term for when you're a total?
That's your real reason, yeah. For a fake reason, yeah.
Yes, for a fake reason. I watched a lot of BYU Utah basketball games growing up. I can tell you that during the Chambers Ainge days, they needed to be much more worried about their physical health than they do now. I mean, those guys pounded each other, and college basketball and pro basketball was a lot more physical than it is now. So, So anyway, well, Jerem, thanks for coming on the show. We'll of course have you on again sometime soon. And of course, everybody check out BYU men's volleyball this weekend against Stanford on BYU TV 7 Mountain Time on Friday and Saturday. So thanks, Jerem. We'll have you on again soon.
Awesome. Don't go Chris Kobiak-ing anybody.
CougarFan.com Rise and Shout podcast. Matt, unfortunately, we are having to cancel the podcast.
Oh, no.
I fear for our safety.
I'm a little bit worried about my safety. We should probably just cancel it.
We should just cancel the podcast. I mean, I almost didn't have Jerem on earlier because I was worried about Jerem's safety.
I worry about your safety when dealing with the likes of Jerem Jordan.
Yeah. I mean, what if he gets real angry with me and I flinch or something and I fall backwards on my little comfy chair in my office? And next thing you know, boom, I've got a bruise.
Nope, nobody's safe.
No one is safe. No one. So, Matt, before we get to making fun of the University of Utah and their basketball coach more, let's talk about the NFL and some interesting playoff action. I got home from being out on Saturday night. No, actually, we had some friends over. And so I was kind of monitoring the game, the Pittsburgh game. Or was that? That was Saturday night. Yeah. And I said to my wife, well, I'm going to watch the last few minutes of this game. And I went, it was like 10-ish Central time. And I didn't get up to bed till like 11:30 because, first of all, the game was crazy. And if you haven't seen it, go read about it because I don't know if you live under a rock or something and haven't heard about it. But the other part was, like, I couldn't, like, stop thinking about the game. Like, so many permutations. So, Matt, most shocking thing that happened in that game, and there's a lot to pick from.
I don't even know where to start.
Yeah, where do you start?
I'm going to go back to early in the game when an offensive line coach grabbed a player by the arm and the hair and tried to swing him into the bench. What in the world? Is this a bar fight? I don't even understand what's going on at that point.
Oh, no, he broke out the metal chair over the head. It was that, you know, I came into the game late, so I did not see that vine until during a commercial break sometime in the late fourth quarter. And when I saw it,
the referee is distracted. Oh, no, here comes the stunner.
Oh, no, was that a... Anyway, it's the sleeper hold. I don't know. That was shocking to me. The other crazy shocking thing to me was Joey Porter, who's not supposed to be on the field as an assistant coach during injury timeout, drawing a flag that makes it a chip shot field goal to win a playoff game.
Well, and then the whole thing about, well, we let the coaches on the field when there's an injured player. He was standing, he went and stood inside a group of exclusively players from the other team.
Yes. He was not there to help out Antonio Brown.
No.
He was there to try to get head cases like Perfect and Pac-Man Jones, a.k.a. Adam Jones, to react. And he successfully did it. But
This isn't Joey Porter's first foray into the field of play when he didn't belong.
No.
Several years ago, you may remember, when BYU was playing Colorado State, and he was on the field level for that game and was standing out the end zone. They scored a rushing touchdown. He ran out into the end zone to chest bump the running back.
Yep.
And drew, I think they threw the flag on Colorado State.
I believe they did, if memory serves me right. I mean,
the guy does not understand boundaries.
No, he did not as a player. He does not as a coach. He does not as a fan. It was crazy. The thing that it mars for me, Matt, is the playoffs have been very interesting, right, in the NFL. They've been some good games, and then you got it capped off last night with a highly entertaining college football playoff. And still, the number one story out of the weekend is some knuckleheads being knuckleheads during a football game.
Which is silly, right? I mean, if you're the Bengals, you have Adam Jones on your roster. You know that this type of stuff, I mean, at this point, after what happened against the Raiders with Amari Cooper, you know that this type of stuff is going to happen.
Yes. And that's
you
why
made a decision to keep that guy on your roster. So, I mean, that's your bat.
That's why, you know, I mean, when I hear people defend the Bengals coaching staff, my point is they made this bed, and now that's what you get when you have players like that on your team. I mean, I know they're grown men, and Perfect and Jones made their terrible decisions on that. But Matt, I wanted to get your take on something else that happened in the NFL. The Los Angeles Rams again, like when we were little kids. Do you care at all?
I don't know if I'd say I really care, but I will say this. I am not sold that the city of Los Angeles even really wants a professional football team.
Well, I'm not sold that the NFL needs. The NFL became the biggest thing in America over the last 20 years without a team in LA. I mean, I get it. Maybe they'll make more money and the franchise will be more valuable. Yippity-ki-yay, right? I mean, gosh, all NFL franchises are extremely valuable already. But man, I don't care. I mean, I feel bad for people in St. Louis. I feel bad anytime a team moves. And, you know, but I don't care that much. So, Matt, let's go back and talk about BYU again, all right? But before, we are sponsored tonight by my bottle of Dr. Pepper.
Oh, boy.
Larry Culpepper.
Hey, did Larry Culpepper come out and present the trophy? I actually didn't watch the trophy ceremony. Was Larry Culpepper a part of it?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to Google that. I don't know the answer. I certainly hope that he was not.
Because that's embarrassing if he was.
I find the commercials funny, or at least kind of funny, but that would be embarrassing.
Over the top. That's stupid.
This is made with real sugar, which makes it healthy, Matt. It's one of the old bottles that has 10, 2, and 4. Do you know why it said that on the bottles?
I don't.
It's like a clock. They used to say their campaign decades ago was you should have a Dr. Pepper at 10, 2, and 4.
So that's 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m.? 2 p.m.
and 4 p.m., yes. That is correct. And I try to live up to that. So, Matt, let's
I thought it was you drink 10 in the morning, 2 in the middle of the day, and then 4 at the end of the day.
That seems like a lot. I'm not good with math, but I think that's 16 Dr. Peppers.
Sounds about right.
So, Matt, let's move on to the CougarFan.com Cougars in the News.
Cougars in the News!
So, first up, Matt, I just talked with Jerem Jordan of BYU TV about the men's volleyball team. They open up with impressive wins against two-time defending champ Chicago Loyola, and number 14, George Mason. Stanford, number 11, Stanford is up next. You know of my eternal love for the trees. Matt, percent chance you'll see some of this match against Stanford this weekend on BYU TV?
85%.
85%? I love it. I will also be 85% or more. Matt, in the bad news category, former BYU assistant basketball coach Dave Rice was fired as UNLV's head coach. Seems to be a somewhat mutual decision. Matt, are you surprised that Dave Rice got yanked this early in his coaching career?
I was optimistic early on in Dave Rice's tenure for UNLV, but I think the way things have been going as of late, the writing was on the wall for this.
Unfortunately, I think you are correct. Do you think any chance he comes back to Dave Rose's staff?
Yeah, I think there's a chance.
Yeah.
More like one in a million.
So you're saying there's a chance.
I think the chances are about as good as me winning the Powerball.
So what you're saying is Dave Rice is going to look for another head coaching job.
If I were him, that's what I would do. I would pursue that route.
Yes, I think that's a good route to pursue. So, Matt, let's stick with coaching news here for a minute. Tuiaki, the new defensive coordinator, he did not play for BYU, but the article in the Daily Herald talks a lot about how he was a big BYU football fan. Do you care that Tuiaki was a BYU football fan when he was a kid?
Yes.
You do. Why do you care?
I do, actually.
All right.
I like the fact that this whole staff are BYU guys in some respect, right? So, and this is not a dig on Bronco, because I'm not saying it has to be this way, but I like the fact that these guys either have been following the program, know about the program, were in the program, and feel that kind of a certain level of ownership with what they're taking over here, as opposed to a coaching staff that might not have that same connection to what they're there to do. And that is exciting for me. I don't think you have to have that to be successful. But I do think it's pretty cool.
It's a cool wrinkle. We haven't ever had that before, and I'm with you. It's pretty cool. Speaking of his coaching staff, Jay, friend of the podcast, Jay Drew of the Salt Lake Tribune, indicates today in the Salt Lake Tribune, and this is Tuesday, that the staff could be complete by Thursday. He mentions Ben Cahoon and a few others that might join the staff. Matt, by the time we talk next, recruiting is going to be flying and his staff's going to be put together. Is there anybody that's not on the staff today that you say, gosh, Mr. Satake, you have got to get this guy on your staff?
I don't know if I'd say you'd have to have any of these guys on your staff. I think Cahoon's a good add. You know, I'd love to see Harvey Unga in there working with running backs. I think that one would be fun. But I think I don't know if there's anybody that's like, oh, if you don't get this guy, that's a huge miss. Like, you've made a big mistake. I'm not really there with any of the positional coaching candidates.
Okay, I'm with you. I totally agree. I'd love to see Cahoon come back. There's been talk of bringing one of our tight ends, Doug Jolly or somebody, back to help with tight ends. I think that'd be cool too.
Hey, did I tell you? I saw. Was it Doug? Who did I see in the airport in Kansas City? Oh, it was Andrew George.
Yes. You did mention that. I don't know if you mentioned it on the podcast or not.
Oh, I saw Andrew George in the airport in Kansas City.
Did you say hello?
I did not. He appeared to be with his family. It looked like they were in a hurry. I didn't want to mess with that. Traveling with kids is a pain in the neck.
Yes, it is. You are such a BYU football geek that you recognized Andrew George in plain clothes in an airport.
See, but you know what's funny? Here's what we're going to find out, is that Andrew George didn't go to the Kansas City game, and I just saw some other guy.
Right? that's
what's going to come out of this.
That's highly
I'm pretty
possible.
Sure it was Andrew George, though.
Yes, yeah, that is highly possible. So Matt, staying with football, conference expansion has been the talk. We had a tweet bag question that I'd like to discuss with you. So, we were asked on Twitter, basically, why, where are we? Matt Quinney, which We have not had a question from him in some time, so welcome back, Matt.
Welcome back, Matt. Hope everything's going well your way, you know?
Yes, absolutely. Listening to last week's podcast, you spent more time on expansion than you ever have in the past. That is correct.
Yes.
Percent chance it happens. We'll get to that in a minute. We also had a similar tweet, I believe, from somebody else, but I'm not finding it. So, Matt, percent chance BYU is in the Big 12 5 years from now?
20.
I will go less than that, and we'll talk about why here in a minute. So, the dominoes are falling this week. According to Greg Swaim on the BYU Sports Nation show today, he told Jerem Jordan and Spencer Linton that he thought the vote was actually going to take place on Wednesday, which is tomorrow. So some of you may be listening to the podcast as this is happening. Instead of on Friday, momentum looks like they're going to grant the Big 12 the chance to divide into 2 5-team divisions as a way to have a conference championship game, so they would not be forced to expand to 12 teams. Matt, does this news affect your emotional state regarding expansion at all, or do you think this was kind of what was coming anyway?
I think this is what was coming anyway. I think the Big 12 has been pretty clear. They don't want to add another couple of teams. And so they're going to do whatever they can to do that. Maybe my 20% was a little bit high, but lest I be misunderstood, I think the odds for a P5 invite for BYU overall are really slim.
So here's my quick take on this. At this point, after reading more and more of the Big 12's opinions, I don't want to be part of the Big 12 anymore. This is a conference that is going to die. At some point, the Big 10 and or the Big 12 are going to come and poach Texas and Oklahoma, and the conference will be dead.
See, but I think that's what the Big 12 is trying to prevent by not adding 2 more teams.
See,
they want bigger pieces of the pie to divide up.
See, but
in order to keep those guys in house, I think that's what they're trying to do. I'm not saying I agree with the approach, but I think that's the play here.
But here's the problem. Guess who wants expansion? Who's on the record? The president of Oklahoma. So I get what you're saying. I think that's their reasoning. I think the Big 12 has absolutely no idea what it's doing. They haven't formed a conference network, which everyone else has, right? BYU has a network, right? Now, granted, I realize BYU already had a network on a lot of things, but everybody has a network. Only the Longhorns have one. And, you know, it's very hard to have an entire network dedicated to one team. And obviously, Texas not being very good at football right now hurts them. But, you know, a Big 12 network should be a given at this point. They should have already had it. They've let all this stuff pass, and they're going to be dumb enough to divide into 2 5-team divisions, which is the most crazy thing I've ever heard. You play every team. You don't need divisions or a championship. Right?
You're playing every team, so what do the divisions even mean?
So you do the divisions. Some team goes undefeated, has an undefeated record, and in the Big 12 championship loses to a team they've already beat.
Right.
This is not actually going to help you, I don't think. I mean, Oklahoma got in next year. Baylor and or TCU, I think, are likely to get in. You know, I guess with TCU, we'll find out on their quarterback situation how that'll work out without Boykin. But I just look at this, Matt, and I say, I'm not sure I want to be part of that circus that is the Big 12 that I don't think is going to exist 10 years from now.
But you see, we're going to get into this next round of TV talks, and that's when one of these other conferences is going to poach Texas and or Oklahoma, and that's when the Big 12 is going to come knocking.
But at that point, they're not going to be a P5. They're not going to let them stay.
They're going to be the only ones who come and ask, though.
No, we'll get to that here in a second. So let's jump back into the tweet bag. Justin D. Sweeney asks, if BYU misses out on Big 12 expansion again, which I guess he means by again by like long ago, right, when they added Baylor, What's the long-term plan? Stay in the American Conference, American Conference plus Boise State, Air Force, UNLV. Matt, what is your expansion? What is your expansion, non-expansion possibility if BYU misses out on that wagon?
It's something like American Conference with Boise and Air Force and a couple of the other teams.
See,
it's going to be something like that.
I think what it is the leftovers, the best of the power, the G5, plus whoever's left that's desirable out of the Big 12. I think a new conference appears. And I think you get the Kansas schools, you get Iowa State, whoever doesn't get picked up, you pick up and throw together with the best of the American and Boise State and BYU. That's what I think happens. Maybe some from the Mountain West. We'll see. I don't know, Matt. Right now, if I'm looking at the tea leaves, and maybe we're Mormons, we shouldn't be looking at tea leaves. Maybe we
you can look at them. You can look at them. Just don't make a hot drink with them.
I don't feel really positive that BYU will land in a P5 conference. I think the part about this that is strange is that every national media talking head says BYU should be in a P5 conference. Almost universally, they say, well, if we were doing it on merit, BYU would be in, right? But this isn't how this thing works. It's not on merit.
No, it's BYU not about the quality of your program. It's about money and geography.
Well, and history,
but mostly
right?
Money.
Well, but also history, right? Like Vanderbilt gets the benefit because they joined the SEC 50 years ago, right? And they get to take a big piece of that money, but they never earned it.
Right. Well, I'm talking in terms of teams that would get picked up in an expansion scenario. That's all about money and geography.
But who's left, though? Besides, if you're looking, I mean, who's left besides that really would add to a conference besides Oklahoma and Texas?
Big 12 doesn't think there's anyone left. That's why they don't want to expand.
But that's what I'm saying.
Because they feel like they're going to go out and get their own Vanderbilt.
If you're the Big Ten, who do you go after? You go after Cincinnati? You don't need Ohio, right? Like, if you're the Big Ten, do you go after Florida? Because that gives you a different geography.
Maybe, but the Big 12, they don't want Houston. I mean, what makes me think the Big Ten wants Cincinnati?
That's what I'm saying. They're not going to want.
No, they don't want Cincinnati in that conference.
No,
now it's just one other team to compete in Ohio for.
What I'm saying is BYU does have something to offer in money and geography. They have a national fan base that can bring eyeballs to televisions in a way that not the only other teams that aren't in the, I'll call them the Power Four, not eliminate the Big 12 right now, the only other teams in the Big 12 plus the G5 that have that ability are Oklahoma, Texas, and BYU. Those are the only three. Now, there is geography, like the Big 10 could go to Florida or the Big 10 could go west, right? There is geography, but as far as like a school that you think they could actually bring a better TV contract, those are the three, right? And BYU, if people really thought they could bring a lot more money, they'd already be in one.
Yeah, Big 12 obviously doesn't buy it.
No, they do not. But I would say the Big 12 doesn't know what they're doing. I think the Big 12, if I ran the Big 12, I would have already invited BYU and somebody else. And not because I'm a BYU fan, because I'm trying to set up for the long term, and they right now are playing the short game, and I don't think protecting Baylor and Kansas's revenue stream is not thinking about the long term. Adding another school, Texas and Oklahoma will hardly notice it because they are able to generate a lot more revenue, right? Oklahoma wants to expand. I don't know. This whole thing is crazy to me, but
it's like the Craig Thompson approach.
Yes, it is the Craig Thompson approach. We are going to dig our head in the sand and try to make this work.
So coming back to what you were saying a minute ago, is this really the conference you want to go to?
I don't think it is. I think if you join the Big 12, you're tying yourself to a sinking ship. So I know I would love if the Big 12 could right itself and be permanent. I'd love to be part of that conference from an athletic standpoint. From a business standpoint, I'm not sure with who's in charge right now that they know what they're doing. And this is a business, as much as the NCAA will say it's not. Well, Matt, let's get on to something that will really get our blood boiling.
Here we go.
Utah men's basketball coach. And do I even have to say his name? I don't even want to say his name. We'll just call him the guy at Utah, has canceled the game, which I didn't know coaches could cancel games, by the way. I thought the athletic director did that stuff. But apparently he canceled the game because he fears for the safety of his players. Matt, with all this stuff rolling around this week, what's your take?
Does this guy, I mean, come on. This isn't even the most heated rivalry in the United States.
No, not even close.
So I'm not buying the we're worried about the safety of the players argument. I think that's a sham. I wonder, there's a piece of me. Okay, how about this? High-low conspiracy theory. You ready for this?
Fire away, man.
After the BYU-Utah game, Chris Hill brings coach, whatever his last name is.
Stoviak.
Okay, I thought we weren't going to say his name.
Oh, sorry.
So Chris Hill brings Chris Stoviak into his office, and he says, hey, dude, you were acting like a child. Like, I know he punched our player, but you can't get in. Who are you, Joey Porter? You can't get into it like that with players. You can't be yelling from the bench at a player from another team like that. You have to be the bigger man. And he said, hey, I got fired up. Like, I'm an emotional guy. That's why you brought me here, right? I'm a fiery guy. I can't guarantee you that I won't do that again next time we play those guys. And Chris Hill's like, oh, well, we can't have any of that.
Well, because
so to avoid an embarrassing situation for them, they're like, listen, we're never going to be able to keep our cool. Let's just call it and be out. But my real take on this, that's high-level crazy conspiracy theory stuff, right? My real take is I'm done. Let them walk. BYU, Utah is trying to big-time BYU with this cancellation, and they can't even do it right. They're fumbling, bumbling their way through it.
Oh, yeah. National media has absolutely hammered Voldemort and Utah, and rightfully so.
It's a joke. Let them walk. Cancel the football games and move on. I'm done with these guys. Done. Just move on. This is the rivalry has become – stuff like this makes the rivalry lame.
Absolutely.
Just let them walk.
The cowardice that's behind this, the just overall stupidity, the ignoring of 100 years of tradition and hiding behind, you know, again, Nick Emery, we talked about this when this all went down, Matt. I thought he should have been suspended for more games, right? I thought what he did was terrible. And so this is in no way defending Nick Emery's actions. Though it sounds like he's very remorseful and all those good things, right?
Yeah.
I'm not defending Nick Emery. None of our players should be taking swings at a player at any other team unless you're defending yourself against physical harm or one of your teammates. You should not be turning around and decking a guy. That being said, Nick Emery is a kid that made a mistake. Voldemort is a guy that I love that I'm calling him Voldemort is a grown man who, if he can't control himself, and he clearly cannot because his display at his news conference yesterday or was that earlier today was as big of a sham as I've ever seen. And it's I'm with you. Just be done with these idiots. I mean, Chris Hill and Voldemort, I don't want to deal with them anymore. Now, I have a lot of respect for Kyle Whittingham, and I know some BYU fans have turned on him over the years, but I think he's a good guy, and he played at BYU, and I think he respects the rivalry. And I think actually him and Satake will have a much more healthy rivalry as coaches than Mendenhall and Whittingham did. But that being said, I'm just done. I don't care if we play him anymore. You join the Pac-12, you are not USC, UCLA, or, you know, name other big-time program. And your fans think you are now, but you're not. And it is what it is. You're Utah. You know what I mean? It's like, same with BYU. There are ceilings to our fame, and you guys, need us as much as we need you. That's still true. And at this point, let's just call it good and walk away.
Yeah, we've had other times. If you look at football since independence, we've had big names cancel games and cancel contracts.
Yes,
but nobody has ever felt a need to make a production out of it or make a statement out of it. That's just bizarre. Like I wouldn't play him again in any sport.
Yeah,
just walk away. Just who cares?
Yeah, I mean, especially in basketball, while that guy's still the coach. Especially in basketball, I wouldn't want it to hurt where the rivalry I think is still good in some of the Olympic sports, where they can do the rivalry well. But as far as basketball goes, while that guy's the coach, I say we don't play him again. Anyway, Matt, should we talk about actual basketball?
Yes.
So BYU has a good weekend against Santa Clara and San Francisco, as we predicted last week on the show.
Oh, wait a minute. So can I take off my hard hat?
Yes.
On all my safety gear?
No. You're going to need to keep that on.
My shoulder pads?
You may need to keep that on. I am putting up padding all over the podcast space here.
All right.
You know, and I will not be using a pencil because in case I stab myself.
It's too sharp.
Too sharp.
Not worth the risk.
Too sharp, man. Voldemort also does not believe in recess. He is anti-recess. Too dangerous. Too dangerous for the children. Think of the children, Matt.
Voldemort only eats his steak. Very well done.
Yes. I love that we're calling him Voldemort. That is his new name. That way we don't have to say his real name. So, obviously, this week is a big game against Gonzaga on Thursday night. Let's talk about that game, Matt. Overall, Gonzaga may not be as good as we thought. The computers like them as about the 30th best team. At the beginning of the year, they were a top 10 team. Offense is still there, a very good offense. Defense is decent, but not great. But so far this year, Matt, the thing with them is they've lost some home games where they don't typically lose. And they are a two-man team. Wilcher and Sabonis, they basically are the offense. And in the case of Wilcher and Sabonis, both, they're a big part of the defense. So, Matt, let's talk predictions. Right now, I meant to look up the line, but now I don't have it. Give me a moment here to find the line of BYU. This is very fascinating as I click. So I'm still not finding the line. Do you have a line?
I don't have a line there. You always have the lines.
I always have the lines. I don't know what's going on. Why ESPN's
game thing
doesn't have the line. But anyway, so Matt, what is to you the keys of being able to stop Wilcher and Sabonis? What is BYU going to have to do to win this?
Well, I think that it's going to come down to some of the same things as you looked at games where we've been successful and games where we've struggled a little bit. I think it's going to come down to the key play by some of these key players, and it. I don't even know if it's as much about stopping some of their players as it is getting Chase Fisher into a rhythm and taking advantage of the right guys off the bench and those kinds of things. I feel like if we can do those things, if this team can play as well as they're capable of playing, I think they have it in them to beat Gonzaga and Spokane. I think it's a tough sell. I think it's an uphill climb. It's a game on the road. It's a pretty good team. But I think if they can get into a rhythm like they have in some of these games where they've won, I feel pretty good about their chances.
Yeah, absolutely. I think this is not a great team, Gonzaga. They're a very good team, though. And I think that they will play better at home than they have. That being said, I think, we haven't used a lot of Kafusi lately. I think he'll see more time. You might see more Jamal Eights. But I think right now this small lineup that Dave Rose has going with Celia sometimes being at the four is a matchup nightmare for other teams. And I think they're going to have to decide who they guard and who they leave open at the three-point line. Is it going to be Celia? Is it going to be Chase Fisher? The other part is I just like the matchup with Collinsworth on their guards. I think he'll be able to get some things done and move the ball around. I'm going to say I don't believe that BYU wins this, but I think it's close, and I think they hang in there with a chance to do it. My prediction, Matt, 87-83 for Gonzaga.
See, I think they have it in them. I think they have a shot to do it. I think you're in kind of a good neighborhood for scoring, but I'm going to go somewhere more in the neighborhood of 85-75, Gonzaga.
Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I think, like you said, really the whole thing is being able to get Chase Fisher and Celius. If they can hit, if we can hit 10 threes, we win. If we hit two or three, we probably lose by more than 10. And that's going to be kind of how it is a lot of the season. Matt, the Portland game is a road game on Saturday. I'm going to call that a win no matter what happens in Spokane.
I think they've got Portland handled.
Okay. So Matt, that means as we talked about last week, nothing has really changed for us. They've got to win one against St. Mary's, so that's at home, and one against Gonzaga to have a shot at making the tournament without winning the WCC tournament. Is that does that reflect your opinion appropriately?
Yeah. But that does reflect my opinion appropriately. But let me say this: if they win Thursday night in Spokane, my outlook on this team changes.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
I think if they can win that game in Spokane, I think they have a. If they can do that, I think they can beat Gonzaga at home. And if they can win both of those games, they come out of they've got those four big games we've really talked about, right? I think if they win Thursday night, they win three, if not four, of those.
Yeah.
And then all they got to do is get into the finals of the conference tournament, and I think they're in at that point.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think I'm right there with you. Now, I also think this is a year because St. Mary's may not be as good as we thought they were with their loss this past weekend and Gonzaga not being great. This is also could be a good year that if all these young players hit their stride at the right time, Matt, this could be a year where you win the conference tournament, because I don't think Gonzaga is as unbeatable or as strong as they have been in years past. So, you know, we may hit the conference tournament and think they got a decent shot of taking all the mystery out of it, which would be a lot of fun, right? Because then you don't have to worry on Selection Sunday what the committee decides to do.
But it's crazy what that does to you when you look at those four games and think the difference between splitting those and winning three of them.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a big difference. That's a big difference.
Oh, yeah. It is absolutely a big difference.
You know, and then you go into we've talked about this. I think if they win three of those, I think they're more likely not to drop one of these other games, right? We've talked about that being the other potential loss.
Yes.
So, that's like I said, that's three or four games right there that could really turn the tide.
So, Matt, we're going to finish off with the NFL and predict some playoff games. You are terrible at predicting playoff games.
Awful.
It's awful. You did not do well last week. I did awesome.
College playoffs, NFL playoffs, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. You're terrible at predicting this stuff, which, by the way, that Alabama-Clemson game was fantastic. Highly
entertaining. I picked Bama, though.
You did pick Bama, and they actually, Clemson did cover with that late touchdown.
Yeah,
because it was 6.5. I mean, that's some gambling fun right there. I'm sure Saban and Bama don't care, but it was pretty funny when that went in. I was waiting for the ESPN crew to say something about it, but they did not.
Musburger would have brought it up.
Musburger would have brought it up for sure. So Matt, Saturday in the divisional round, Chiefs at our Patriots, 11-5 Chiefs, 12-4 Patriots. Chiefs are rolling. Patriots are hurt and still banged up. New England is favored by 5. Who you got?
I got Patriots. I'm taking New England and the points.
I am taking New England, but I'm not taking the points.
You're a big chicken.
I am saying 24-21 Patriots.
Pansy.
I'm not a pansy. I'm still picking the Pats.
Yeah, come on. That's only kind of picking the Pats.
I'm still picking the Pats. So, Matt, the night game is the Packers, who looked like the Packers of old on this past weekend, and the Cardinals, who I think are quite good. Arizona's favored by 7. Who you got?
I wish that game could be played at the frozen stadium at the University of Minnesota. Because I think that changes the game.
I'll tell you what. I have friends that went to that game. That's crazy stuff. But who you got for real?
So I think this is a really good game. I think it's a great matchup. Carson Palmer's had a really good year. The Cardinals look really good. But I don't think they're good enough to beat Aaron Rodgers and the Packers right now.
No, you think the pack rolls?
Of course I do. I'm going to be wrong, but yeah.
I'm going with the Cardinals. I think the Packers ran into a defense that was terrible, and they ran the ball well. I don't think that the Cardinals defense will not let them will not let James Stark and Eddie Lacy run over them
Eddie Lacy finally looked like he was picking up some steam. He looked in better shape.
Their defense, run defense, is terrible. No, I'm not.
Well, and it was like negative 4,000 degrees, right? Nobody wants to hit anything in that kind
of thing. No, you're thinking of the Minnesota game. The Packers game was negative 4,000 degrees. It was nice.
Oh, you're right. You're right. Sorry. I'm just obsessed with the weather.
Yeah, that one was pretty awesome. Speaking of that game, on Sunday, the Seahawks, who won that game at the University of Minnesota against the Panthers, the Seahawks did
against
not...
Against the Panthers?
No, they're against the Panthers on Sunday. Follow along if you can.
I'm all over the map.
You're all over the place. Matt, the Seahawks did not look good. I think the Panthers are only favored by 2.5. I think they win this one by 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Panthers are hot. The Panthers are one of the best teams in the NFL right now, if not the best team in the NFL. I think they got this.
So, Matt, this is tough for me, this last game. Steelers at Broncos. I hate both these teams.
Does anybody really win here?
No one wins. No one wins. I shouldn't say I hate both of them. I actually, until last week, I have a lot of respect for the Steelers as an organization, historically, even though I always wanted to beat them. The Broncos, that comes from living in Utah for a lot of time and having a lot of bandwagon Bronco fans.
Why are there so many Broncos fans in Utah? It's just because it's the closest team that who they got?
Team.
That's the team they got on Sunday when they weren't supposed to be watching football.
Yeah. That or the 49ers, right, when Steve Young was with them. Nobody wins on this. Denver is favored by 6.5. I think Denver wins, and by more than that. Roethlisberger is toast, and so I don't think there's much of a chance here for the Steelers. Matt?
Like you, I didn't have anything against the Steelers up until last weekend, but I now don't like the Steelers or the Bengals, and so I'm going to have to go Broncos here.
Yeah, you're going the Broncos. So Matt, if you are correct, and we predicted mostly the same thing, you think it's going to be Broncos and Patriots. Who is the AFC representative in the Super Bowl?
Patriots.
Of course, you're going to say that. You think it's going to be Packers and Panthers. I assume you're going with the Panthers in the NFC Championship.
I am.
I am as well, though I think it's going to be the Cardinals. I think that NFC Championship game is the Super Bowl. Cardinals and Panthers, I think, are the best two teams in the NFL. We will wait and not predict the Super Bowl at this point in the program.
Good, because I'm not in a rational state to predict the Super Bowl right now.
I also am not in a rational state. And if the Patriots lose this weekend, are you going to be shocked?
I don't even know if I'm going to want to talk about it.
We may not next week. So, Matt, next week we'll be back. We'll talk NFL. Of course, we will be talking Gonzaga, more volleyball, more football. You know, heck, we may be able to break down every single coach on the BYU coaching staff and how excited we are to have them on the staff.
That's going to be good stuff. I'm really hoping that we'll have a win in Spokane to talk about. Because if we win that game, there's going to be a lot of hoops. There's going to be a lot of interesting scenarios for basketball.
Oh, absolutely. And like we both said, it's a winnable game for them this week. Obviously, things have to go well, but they can win. So, well, thank you all for downloading and listening. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/riseandshout. I believe we have 36 likes so far. So we've already been mocked a couple times by some of our likers. Are they called likers? Followers?
I don't think you can say that.
And, of course, on Twitter at BYU_RiseShout. Get all your Cougar news at CougarFan.com, and we will catch you next time.
Go Cougars! So we live out tonight.
my old van, traveled all across this land, me and you. And we'll end up hand in hand, somewhere down on the sand, just me and you. Just as free, free as we'll ever be. Just as free.